Hare Krishna. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Moment. Hare Krishna, I would like to again welcome those who have just now come and show you a little a bit around in our temple room. Yes, some insignificant galaxy in the back. There you will find many, many planets of one of such universes. And maybe there where this little light is, do you see? It's not blinking. It might blink if you look too much. That's where you are, a little on a little planet in a dark universe. But Krishna found us, or we, I think it is good to say, like Rumi, I was a black ant on a black stone in a dark night in a dark universe. But you, my Lord, found me. That is a good Rumi poem. The idea here of this decoration is to help us look with new eyes, with fresh eyes, at our existence. All these planets, all these universes, they emanate, they come from our Lord. He's Tribhuvana, the one who fascinates all the universes which he himself has created just by breathing out. Yes, and our opportunity is to come close to him by celebrating his festivals like this Krishna Jamashtami, which is going to take place on Monday. So please come with me for a moment. Leave your concerns in this which you have in your present incarnations, and just give an ear to hear about the Lord. If you hear a lot, you might start to remember what you have forgotten. So there is a very nice shloka which we want to chant. I think it is there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Abhikshnashah Smaranti Nandanti Davihitam Janah Taiva Ashyanti Achirena Tavakam Bhava Ravaho Palamang Padambudam Shinvanti Gayanti Grinantya Bikshnasha Gayanti Grinantya Bikshnasha Smaranti Nandanti Tavihitam Jana Taiva Pasyantya Chirena Tavakam Pravaho Paramang Padambuja Srinvanti Gayanti Grinant Yabhikshnasha Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Jana Taiva Pasyantya Chirena Tavakam Bhava Pravaho Paramang Padambuja Matajis, please. Shinvanti.
Shinvanti.
Here.
Here.
Sorry. Gayanti.
Gayanti.
Chant.
Chant.
Grinanti.
Grinanti.
Take.
Take.
Abhikshnashaha.
Abhikshnashaha.
Continuously.
Continuously.
Smaranti.
Smaranti.
Remember.
Remember.
Nandanti.
Nandanti.
Take pleasure.
Tava,
your
ihitam
activities,
janaha,
people in general,
te,
they,
eva,
certainly,
pashyanti,
can see,
achirena,
very soon.
Tavakam,
your Bhava Prava. The current of rebirth. Uparamang. Cessation. Padambujam. Lotus feet. Wonderful. The translation. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So this is something to a text which tells us that we can actually wake up from material life by the simple process of hearing about Krishna, continuously chanting his glories and repeating, means talking to others about the transcendental activities. Or take pleasure when others do this. Oh, they hear about Krishna, they chant about Krishna, they talk about Krishna. Nice, I like this. These people certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. In another text in the Bhagavatam, this process is actually called Shrutekshita, seeing by hearing. seeing by hearing. Just like a sleeping man is wakened or awakened, if he hears sounds of the awakened world. So in the same way, you can start to become awakened in your spiritual life and see actually more and more and more and more as you continuously hear. So Srila Prabhupada writes a rather lengthy purpose here, which I will not be able to quote in its entirety, but in some way. So please listen. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life, full of spontaneous love of Godhead. When Sri Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha and Shishupal were highly qualified personalities by acquisition of material assets. Highly qualified, but they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present right before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, and repeated by the people in general. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first item, Shravanam, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, one should first select a competent and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. That's a nice point which Srila Prabhupada makes here at the very end. By hearing constantly about Krishna, you become inspired so that your other devotional practices are done with devotional feelings, with devotion. And then everything becomes perfect. If you add bhakti to your chanting, if you add bhakti to your kirtan, if you add bhakti to your worshipping Krishna on the altar, etc., it is perfect. But if you have no bhakti when you chant, when you have no bhakti when you do kirtan, when you have no bhakti when you worship, you will think it is a material activity. You will not be able to penetrate into the spiritual presence of the Lord. So by hearing, you develop this very important qualification. You get this bhakti, and then the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. That's why I have chosen to talk a little bit more about Krishna than on other days. It's his appearance day, so that we can hear, and it is hoped that as you hear more about Krishna, you become inspired. Let me also inform myself more. When this festival is over, I want to continue hearing about Krishna. I will read in the Bhagavad Gita. I will do my hearing. Hearing can be done by reading. Or I will hear some recorded lectures by Srila Prabhupada or by others. And so then everything will become hearing. I have personally experienced this in my life, that by hearing regularly the Bhagavatam, my enthusiasm for my spiritual life has become so much uplifted that, it has become a simple habit for me to read. Fine. Let us now dive deep into the ocean of Krishna Kanamrita. Now, please join me in saying the prayers, which you all know. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vajanine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskadhyane Zataline Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Shri Go Bhaktavinda Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sudhi Devi pranamami haripiye. He Krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate. Upesha gopika kanda rara kanda namostute. Vanshakalpa taruvasya kiva sindhu vai vacha paditaram pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I would like you to have this image in your mind. Bilva Mangala Thakur has heard the call. When you hear the call for your spiritual life, immediately answer. Follow that call. He did this. He went from the house of Chintamani straight to the ashram of Somagiri, learned from his spiritual master about the process of bhakti, and then after 1 year, the longing became so intense that he wanted to go to Vrindavan Dham. This is how you can see for your own. If your spiritual life is healthy, it is when you, upon hearing about Krishna, begin to develop that strong desire about meeting Krishna. There's a Western thinker, his name is Pascal, who has expressed it quite strongly. He said, the human being is stationed somewhere between an angel and a devil. Sometimes he leans to the angel's side, and the other time he leans or is inclined to the other side. So I think we all have experienced this. Sometimes we are leaning, or we are inclined, or we are attracted to the spiritual side, the angel's side. This is how he expresses it. And at other times, our mind and senses are so bewildered by material desires that all we can think of in the lecture is, when do I get my new mobile telephone with 100 more apps than I have at the moment on my boring old Samsonite phone. There's two sides in us. So by hearing about Krishna, my dear devotees, you feed your spiritual inclination so much so that you develop spiritual desires. And Bilva Mangala Thakur is a stunning example of this. From where he came, my dear devotees, what he did, he was the cause of so much suffering for himself and for others by his materialistic desires. But by hearing that one night from Chintamani about Krishna's wonderful qualities. He developed the strong desire to first learn more how to attain him, and then finally he ran to Vrindavan. He ran to Vrindavan. Those who are in the devotional line, they will see, oh brother, do you think you will not die? Do you think your mantra chanting will help you to not die? Oh brother and oh sister, think carefully about the temporary nature of this world and run to Vrindavan. Run to Vrindavan means follow your longing, follow your calling, follow that ability which you as a human being have to respond to the call of love, to respond to the call of bhakti, to respond to the divine call, and become an angel. Or Prabhupada would talk sometimes about his disciples with pride in his heart. They were previously hippies, he used to say. Now they are happies. he would talk simple that everyone could understand to make this point very clear. So here is now Bilva Mangala Thakur. He is running to Vrindavan. There are accounts that he was so much impelled by the love in his heart that he did not walk very carefully, very slowly, very dignified. No, he ran to Vrindavan in great hurry, in great haste. And when he arrived in Vrindavan, he took his place, he went to a place called Brahma Kund. As far as I know, I will ask our Madhavananda Prabhu to, if he has a different Brahma Kund, I think is in Vrindavan town, isn't it? There are two Brahma Kunds. Yeah, I also have that understanding. My dear devotees, you might like in your next visit to Vrindavan, go to Brahma Kund. As far as I remember, it is very nicely restored. There are figures of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, maybe the... I don't want to say something, but I remember, I will make it a point really, when I go this year on a sacred pilgrimage, you will find me at Brahma Kund. Visit me in Brahma Kund. Yes, that's the place where he sat and where he recited or first of all composed these beautiful verses, and one of which I want to sing with for you. And they describe Krishna's beauty from his experience, from what he saw. He saw Krishna, although he was by material calculation blind. His nerves in the eyes did not work any longer. But he actually saw him spiritually, with his spiritually awakened eyes. And one verse which is quoted in the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami describes first of all, his longing for Krishna. And see how intimately he describes Krishna. You will, where do you find such intimate description? I have to see now that I do everything correct. Yes. Anam Ramasita Bruvo. This is what he sings. Upaicham Akshina Pakshmankuresh Alolam Manuragino Nayanayo Atramrido Jalpite Atam Ram Madaramrite Madakalam Amlana Vangsisvaneshu Ashaste Mamalochanam Vrajachishor Mutim Jagan Mohinim. You know, someone who sees the Lord wants to see more of him. He says, in great love, Rupa Goswami says, see, hear this. You will now understand what is bhava, what is that exalted state where Krishna sometimes makes his appearance and then disappears to leave the devotee with more longing. This is spoken on the level of bhava. Rupa Goswami brings this point forward. He says, my eyes long to see the form of that Braj Kishore. It means that Vrindavan boy who enchants the whole universe. Then he describes him. See, this is that little boy of Vrindavan, and the whole universe is enchanted. Means it has some good signs, you know. When you are enchanted, you may be red in your face. Oh, so beautiful, so beautiful. Here the universe is full of light because it feels, oh, Krishna is so beautiful. How does he look? His black eyebrows are curved. His long eyelashes are thick. Krishna has very naturally thick eyelashes. These are the eyelashes, no? Very thick. How does he look? He has love-struck eyes. It means his eyes are so full of love and they are unsteady and constantly moving back and forth. Why this is so? Why Krishna looks with eyes which go shoop, shoop, shoop. We will hear a little later. And he speaks so gently, saturated with deep feelings. Krishna speaks with deep feelings. His nectarian lips are very red, like copper. And the sound emanating from the clear notes of his flute is simply intoxicating. Yes, someone who hears this sound cannot continue with his duties very nicely. It is said when Ananta Shesha, who carries the universe, hears the sound of Krishna's flute, he begins to shake. He cannot keep himself straight any longer. Everyone fears, what is going on here? Brahma becomes forgetful. Shiva begins to dance as if it is the time of destruction. He is so wild and bliss this time. So, yes, the clear notes of his flute are simply intoxicating. That's the shloka. That's the verse. Now, I would like to go a little bit through the verse with you. He has eyes which have curved eyebrows. You know, it's going like this. It is described when you are overwhelmed with lusty emotions. I don't know if this happens to anyone here. You know, then if you close the eyes for a moment and think about the beautiful curved eyebrows of Krishna, you become peaceful. He has very thick eyelashes, and his glances are full of love, because he looks to find all his devotees. He wants to look at all the devotees. That's why his eyes are always seeking seeking for devotees. And when the devotees feel how the eyes of their Lord come upon them, they often faint, that is described, or they come very much alive. I remember from Gopal Champu, when Krishna visited Vrindavan, my dear devotee, his devotees had become very abgemagert, emaciated, by suffering in his separation. They wanted to be with him, and they were so much wanting that they had no desire to eat anything. So when Krishna came back, he looked at these devotees who were there, and he thought, they look so thin. But as he looked upon them, he gave them life and a new body that they looked like before when he was present. Krishna's lips are very, very lip. The Buddha said they are very red. I wanted to say like copper. And when he speaks, a very nice rush means a very gentle. Bilva Mangala Thakur says it like this: gentle speech he does, and it enchants his devotees also. Sometimes his voice is sonorous. Sonorous means very deep, with a lot of authority. It is as deep as an ocean. It's like when Krishna greets his devotee who returns to him, he says in a deep voice, "Where were you?" I'm remembering the Bible at this stage. There is one word of God in the. It's so close to Krishna consciousness that I have to say it. When Adam and Eve left the paradise, according to biblical understanding, then God came and said, ask this question: where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? And they were trembling, they were hiding in the forest, and they said, we can't come before you, we fear you. Why? Because we are naked now. How do you know that you are naked? There was some discussion in the Bible. No? The idea is a lot of authority. So when Lord Krishna looks for the soul, he will say, where are you? You know, he will say, I'm so glad that you have returned. Welcome. Welcome. And his voice is like rumbling like thunder at that time. When Krishna speaks, he always is very truthful. Kunti Devi had greeted Lord Krishna and spoken about Krishna's truthful words, which are full of authority. She remembered at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, where so many soldiers lost their lives. She remembered, you had said to me, there always will be five Pandavas. My sons are five. I have five sons. You said this, and you have kept your word. Then she said, the day may come where the sun is cool, and the day will come where the moon is hot. Everything will change, but what you say is always the truth. Yes. And then the last point here in this verse is Krishna's flute play. As soon as in Vrindavan, the living entities hear Lord Krishna's flute play, something happens to them. Those who cannot move start to move, like the trees. And they sing. And the living entities who all the time talk, like the birds, for instance, they become silent and sit on the branches of the trees like yogis, like munis who are in Mauna. They don't speak any longer. They just want to hear the flute of the Lord. The solids, things like mountains turn liquid. Yes, it is described that at times Giriraj begins to melt, and that's why you see footprints in the heart stone of Krishna, of Giriraj, because he has walked over the melted Giriraj, who became like liquid wax, and left his lotus feet in there. So, but the most important thing which I take from this verse home is when devotees either think about Krishna's eyebrows, his words, his flute play, there is always an ecstatic response. It's like when the sun rises and a certain jewels, they are called the Suryakanta jewels, when they are touched by the sun rays, these jewels become ablaze. They shine like anything. So when Krishna, the Krishna sun rises in our hearts, then immediately we begin to shine like these jewels in Krishna consciousness. You can see a devotee who is touched by Lord Krishna's presence. He has something which makes him different from other people. You can see someone who has, where Krishna has entered his heart. He will be like a Suryakanta jewel, like a jewel which becomes ablaze, being touched by the sun rays. One word which is used here by Bilva Mangala Thakur is that you are enchanting the whole universe. Your flute is very enchanting. He has talked about this at other places. I must say, I don't find it here in this verse, but there is another verse where he says how Krishna enchants all the universes. And I want to end my little presentation with this idea. My dear devotees, it is very important to think about where will we invest our emotions. Because wherever our strong emotions are, it is there where we are. Yesterday I quoted, I spoke a little bit about the amazing transformation of Nelson Mandela, and Haridam Prabhu gave me a quote. Could you find it again on Are you there? Do you have your distraction machine with you? Sorry, your mobile phone. No. Yeah, but I have three notebooks, and the other is, I remember it. Nelson Mandela said, when I walked out of the prison towards that door which would give me freedom, you know, 27 years or 6 years in prison, huh? When I walked towards that door which gave me freedom, I understood, if I do not leave my bitterness in this prison, my disappointment, my anger at those who have unrightly imprisoned me, if I don't leave this in the prison, then I will remain in prison. I will stay in prison. And with this, he has said something which is very, very true. When you have feelings in your heart which are not spiritual, which are full of bitterness, full of sadness for your own situation. Sadness is also there in spiritual life. Oh, I'm sad that I have not yet seen Krishna so clearly before my eyes. No? But when you have sadness around about yourself, oh, this happened to me, oh, I have a headache, how sad, you know. When you, wherever you invest your feelings, my dear devotees, that's where you are. That's where you stay. Don't stay imprisoned in negative feelings. And in order to learn to not stay in the prison of the mind, you will have to learn the art of investing your emotions in Krishna. Emotions like gratitude, like thankfulness, emotions like eagerness, I want to come to him. These emotions will bring you, if you direct them to Krishna, they will bring you out of this world. It's even said in the seventh canto, when you if you have to be lusty for Krishna. You know, I don't, not in that sensual way, but in that way. I must inform you. Calm. No, the word lust is karma. The word for divine love is priti. Now both of them, both have roots from which they come. One is kam and the other is pri. And they both mean the same, to desire something strongly, what you have not attained. A lusty person who lusts after pizza, like I did yesterday, I was after the pizza like anything. I didn't eat at the end the pizza, but the feeling was there. And the desire, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, I want you, have the same quality, quality of desiring. But one brings you up and one brings you, if you're not careful and desire the wrong things which are not good for you, brings you down. So both karma and pretty are very close because they have the quality of desire. One is gold, one is iron. Iron and gold are very close. They're both metal. But one is having one effect the other, for instance, gold you can use as medicine. All Ayurvedic medicines, the strong ones, require gold, and others are just a metal, no? Just a metal. And investing the feelings in Krishna, that's our point. Investing our emotions in Krishna, our desires in Krishna, comes if we hear about them. And I have some nice, for closing this, I have written something down. Yes, Krishna is very attractive. If you deal with Krishna, if you hear about Krishna, you will be very attracted. I would like to give you an example. Every evening in Vrindavan, there is theater. We have also theater this evening at 5 o'clock in the main tent. I can guarantee you, you wouldn't like to miss it. It will be very good. So every evening in Vrindavan, there's also theater. And there's a very nice scene which is described. Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, comes with his darling boy and wants to go to the theater. There are different steps which lead up to the theater. And Krishna, wanting to take the help of Nanda Maharaj, places his little hand into the hand of Nanda Maharaj, who feels the electric touch of Krishna, the touch of love. And he goes up with Krishna into the theater, where he takes his seat. Balaram has now joined them, and Nanda Maharaj sits in the middle, and on one side is Krishna, the other side is Balaram. And this is the sign: may the theater, may the performance start. So first come acrobatic people who know acrobats. I think one Jamashtami we should have acrobats here. You know, they have sticks and they go with plates. They go like this and then put one thing on the knee, on the other knee, on the feet. It's really acrobats, very first class acrobatic. And they walk over sticks, and they walk on top of sticks, and they somersault. They do all these things. It's beautifully described in Govinda Lilamrita. And then singers come and dancers come, and then come those who are sutras. They glorify and so on. They tell the family histories and so on. But look what the audience does. The audience started to cry tears of love. Not because of the acrobats, no. Not because of the singers, no. Because they were drinking in the moonbeams of Krishna's sweet smiles with the birds of their eyes. They remain dissatisfied even after repeatedly drinking the nectar. Ah, says the poet. Ah, how inconceivable are the ways of love. There's so much going on. Concerts, music, acrobats. But everyone has only eyes to see the smile on Krishna's face. This is an analogy. There are birds who come out when the moon shines, and all they are interested is to somehow drink or to gulp, to somehow bathe themselves in the moonbeams. So this is Krishna's attractive power. There may be so many things going on in our lives also. There may be ups and downs. We all will go through birth, old age, disease, and death. It's already sure. There may be disappointments, or there may be great success waiting on us. We may be poor, we may be rich. We may be talented, or everyone may laugh about us. Some may praise us, other may offend us to the core. This is to be expected in material life. It is what you get. Buddha says it so nicely, for every enjoyment which you take, you have to know it, you take a loan. You have to give something back. So this is the world which we came to, my dear devotees. But whatever it is, ups and downs and so on, allow yourself to be attracted by Krishna. Allow that your emotions, your feelings are concerned with Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Hear about his wonderful pastimes. Hear about his mercy to the devotees. Hear about his love for the devotees. And you will see how these very emotions which can bind you to the world can liberate you so that you can get into the world of spiritual emotions and exit the prison of material emotions. This is a point I wanted to raise, and it is a point which I have seen in my own life working. My life is not easy. I have a complicated astrological chart because, I'm the son of, I come from a background of not so spiritual people. They are now becoming spiritual. But I have some karma, like all of us have, which is not always so nice. But I've learned if one can just keep his feelings and emotions with Krishna. Oh Krishna, you're wonderful. Oh Krishna, I'm grateful to you. Oh Krishna, you are my goal in my life. These emotions are powerfully pulling you out of this world and bringing you to the spiritual life, even now. Hare Krishna. This is one verse of the Krishna Kanamrita. I'm trying to explain it, but it's really full of nectar. And what I always hear is, you can really relish it if you would know Sanskrit. I don't know Sanskrit. Maybe some of you are here who know. Anam Ram, Anam Ram, Asita Bruvor, Upachitam, Akshira Pakshman Kuresh. Alolam Manuragino Nayanayo Adramrido Jalpite Atamram Adaramrite Madakalam Amlana Vangsi Svaneshu. I just feel it's much better than English, but I don't understand, so the English is necessary. Good, my dear devotees. I have come to the end. I will look at the wristwatch. Yes. Do you have any questions to what you have heard? Clear. Yes, please. We will have a microphone for you.
You told much about changes in life and about changes in life. And I want to ask how much
how much that changes can affect. Is it really possible to change you completely 180 degree, or maybe some feelings stay in your life, or do you think about it?
Thank you for this nice question. Thank you. Yeah, about transformation or inner change. Do some of the feelings stay in you? Does everything change? A new man? A different man? It depends on your temperature, your spiritual temperature. The more it is, the hotter it is, the more the change is there. For instance, iron, if you hold it into fire a little bit, it will be glowing a little bit, but that will, most of it will remain hard iron. But if it becomes more, it gets more into the fire, it will glow more and more. And sometimes iron can stay, when it stays in very hot fire, it can change into fire. It's like fire, really. So I was explaining about Bilva Mangala Thakur, and this is a good example. Yes, when he heard that night, when he was wounded, when he was bleeding, when he was between birth and death. Not birth and death, no, birth. We are always between birth and death. Life and death. And he heard Chintamani's singing about Krishna, telling about Krishna. Bilva Mangala became enthusiastic, and he left his old life behind, we can say. But because he was not yet on the highest level, he was not in full temperature, if you want so to say it like this, some taints remained. Some material contaminations remained. Some material desires remained. He had been a man of the flesh, you know, totally interested in sexual exchanges, and that he wanted to give it up, but as he was walking towards Vrindavan, he came to a village where there was, some say there was a beautiful lady at the well, taking the well water out. Other accounts say this lady, beautiful lady, very pious lady, very elevated lady, was taking her bath in a lake. And as his eyes fell on the naked beauty, all of a sudden the old desires which he thought he had conquered already sprang up. I always give the example of your computer. When you press some keys, I'm not such a computer expert, maybe my example is not 100% correct, try to understand what I'm saying. Boom, all of a sudden on your screen there may be an image which is something you really don't want to see, of violence maybe, of lusty activities and so on. So when Bilva Mangala was walking towards Vrindavan, and he again, the wrong keys were pressed, you know, old memories flooded his mind, old forgotten memories, and he became so attracted that he followed the lady, and the lady saw this saintly person following him, her, and she went home, and her husband saw the saint is there. Yes, he's following me. I think he saw me when I was at the well or at the lake. What does he want? I don't know, said the lady. I don't want to pass a judgment. Well, said the husband, he's a saint. Let us ask him what he wants. And he received the saint. He washed his feet. And he said, what do you want? Bilva Mangala at that moment, totally overwhelmed by the previous desires, said, I want to be with your wife. Very unusual request. But he thought, who can understand the saints? They are unusual people. Let us not judge them. And said to his wife, please take a bath, make yourself ready, and go to him. And when Bilva Mangala Thakur, he was waiting, and then finally she came. And he saw such a saintly lady, and I'm having this, that I speak in modern English, I have this wrong program here, this wrong desire. And he became so ashamed, he became so disgusted that it was he who made himself blind. He asked the lady for her hairpin, said, took the hairpins, didn't put them to the side, he took them and pierced his eyes, and he said, these eyes are my enemies. It's not something to be imitated by you. It is, I didn't want to speak about this part in detail because it is so shocking. You know, imagine the saint was there and he was bleeding from his eyes. And the lady was there, the husband was there. They, oh no, what has happened? We have made a great offense. Sadhu, oh no. But he said, it's all right. It's all right. I feel now much better. He was on the level of Baba, exalted divine love. Baba, yes, that is what Prabhupada says, but he, some traces means Restspuren in Deutsch, were still remaining. So you asked 180% transformation. That is a very, very high level. But I have good news for you. Krishna doesn't have eyes for the mistakes of his devotees. He doesn't look like this. He looks, my devotees are trying. This doesn't mean we should exploit this now and think, okay, Krishna doesn't care for my mistakes. Let me do them as often as possible. Then you are not really a serious devotee when you think like this. But when something happens, Krishna says, this is conditioned life. My devotees have to be seen as saints, he says, as long as they are on the proper path. No? Abhichet Sudaracharo, you know this verse? Bhajate mang ananyabhag. Sadhu eva samantavya. Last, I just now forget. So this is When a devotee is properly situated in his determination to reach Krishna, Krishna sees that. He doesn't see the mistakes. He's not like us. We sometimes only see the mistakes of our fellow devotees. Oh, he did this, he did that. Oh, no. How could he? And so on. How could she? Ooh. Krishna sees whatever devotion is there. And he wants to see that. I think without that, we wouldn't have any chance. This also how a true sadhu sees a spiritual person. He wants to see the spark in someone, the spark of Krishna consciousness, and he wants to be helping in that person's life to fan the spark so that it becomes a fire. But yes, bhava is a very high state, and even there, sometimes something can happen, but Krishna doesn't care. He appeared to Bilva Mangala Thakur. Nevertheless, he went with his hand and said, I'm going to Vrindavan. Where are you going? I'm also going to want to go to Vrindavan, said blind Bilva Mangala. Oh, this is good. I'm just going. You just give me your hand. I will bring you to Vrindavan. No, Krishna is seeing the spark, the desire. This does not mean that we should do materialistic activities and go for them. This is not the point. The point is try, and Krishna will see your attempt and give you his blessings. Thank you very much. This was a wonderful question which you asked. It is now 9:07. Time is also there. I will ask Gaurahari to tell us how to continue.